And welcome back, everybody. It's day two of our December.
This meeting is being recorded.
Of our 2023 GF&P Commission meeting. We've got a short agenda this morning. We did a pretty good job at getting through yesterday. Before we begin, we do have a special guest with us here today. We have Megan Gault. She's the policy advisor to our Governor Kristi Noem. Megan, thank you for being here. And it's always nice to have folks from state government come and see what we're doing. So thank you again. All right, we're going to jump right into it. And we're going to jump down the list a little bit. We're going to start with number 19 on our agenda this morning, Private Lands Habitat Program Year in Review. And I know we'll have in-person guests this time. Welcome. We'll just have you introduce yourself, and whenever you're ready, go ahead and begin.
Morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. My name is Eric Maganance. I'm the Senior Private Lands Biologist with the department, and I'll let John introduce himself.
Good morning. I'm John Miros. I'm the Private Lands Habitat Biologist based out of the Fort Pierre office.
And today we're going to talk to you about kind of a year in review on our Private Lands Habitat Program. As you all are well aware by now, this is one of the top priorities with the department, so we have some information to share with you all on kind of what was accomplished over the last year and just a couple changes that were made to kind of accommodate our users. All right, so the first slide, I wanted to show you this slide to kind of give you an illustration on what's been accomplished as far as total acres over the last 6 years, starting in 18 until now. As you can see, there's been a rise in acres all throughout, especially from 18 to 22. And if you recall, what was it, John, 2 or 3 years ago, we onboarded additional private lands biologists throughout the state. Originally we had 4, and then we added to the team to have 3, 2 additional in each region. So you could see back in 2021, I believe it was the first year that these staff were all on board and up and going, and of course we saw an increase in the number of acres that were impacted in 2021. And then, of course, following in 2022, another increase in acres in 2022. So jumping to this last year, you see just a slight decline in acres, but it's kind of deceiving because, obviously we still have the month of December left. This is typically the month that a lot of contracts are rolling in for landowners to receive their payments on. So I completely expect those acres to jump up again. And, another positive note for 2023 is in 2022, we worked with and signed 142 agreements with landowners to implement different habitat projects throughout the state. And in 2023 so far, we've done 161. So actually, the number of acres is a little bit deceiving because the number of projects went up. So it's just kind of the average size of the projects just might have declined a little bit this year, but we're working with more people, which is ultimately the goal of the program and folks like John and the rest of the people in the field. So some changes that we made to increase the popularity of a couple programs that are already, probably our most popular programs is our food plot program and our Woody Habitat program. We increased the food plot payments for acres or contracts that are enrolled into a public access program. So dating back to last year, we were only paying those contracts $50 an acre for food plots, and we increased that to $80 an acre to just incentivize and kind of, you know, reward those landowners, those cooperators that have food plots signed up in a public access program. We modified some of the eligibility standards for acres. In the past, there was, you know, some maximums that were set for food plots. Landowners, cooperators can only enroll so many acres per quarter section, so many acres per cooperator. And we've either eliminated that or increased it. So now we're giving those people who want to do the habitat work more opportunity to do more acres. And then our woody habitat program, in the past, we just really basically had just one option for people to pick from. And now we've increased that. We're doing shelter belt renovations. So these old dilapidated shelter belts, now we offer an option to cost share to go back in, renovate the shelter belt, and replant a new shelter belt that's probably going to provide even higher quality habitat than what was there originally. You know, a lot of those you see, they're old elm shelter belts, ash shelter belts. These are going to be, you know, a more diverse species and, you know, wider and all that. So they'll likely provide higher quality habitat for wildlife. Riparian shrub clump plantings kind of speak for itself. There's a design on the right-hand side there kind of showing a few different options for these plantings. Hardwood release. That's a really interesting option for folks, especially in the hills, and then you know, areas along the, you know, the each side of the coteau, where a cooperator can go in, do some cutting of some, you know, old growth forest to open that up and try to kind of encourage more of the aspen and more of the hardwood species to come back. And yeah, greater flexibility within the wildlife shelter belt practice. So we've opened it up more to make the to kind of accommodate landowners and what and work with them on what they want to do. Increased the cost share options for shelter belts, especially when we're adding on to CRP belts or when they're enrolled into a public access program. So, and then created a riparian and habitat enhancement program. So I guess the takeaway is we're continuing to kind of evolve our programs to make sure that we have all the options available to landowners that for projects that they want to do. So a couple that are really notable accomplishments here. You can see on the graph below 2021, of course, that's again when we were fully staffed with all the new biologists. Saw an increase in our wetland restoration acres. And then just a slight decline in 2022, but you'll notice from 2022 to 2023, a very, very sharp increase in acres for wetland restorations. Where we were awarded a NACA grant to do wetland and grassland restorations this last year. And so with that increase in funding and you know, staff recognizing there's a need for this and working with landowners that are interested in doing it, we saw this increase. And to my knowledge, anybody online or anybody here can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's probably the most acres that we've probably ever restored through this program any given year. Jumping West River, our wildlife-friendly fence practice. So this is a practice where we're going out on landscape, working with landowners to remove that old, you know, in sheep country, that old woven wire fence that is just a barrier, especially to pronghorn movement, and replacing it with more of a wildlife-friendly fence design. The bottom wire is smooth, and it's elevated off the ground, so antelope are able to get underneath of it and move across the country a lot more easily. So, again, back in 2021, we had all those folks come on, large increase, and ever since then, 2022-2023, we continue to grow. And I continue to give these guys credit for all the work that they do. And, you know, part of the reason that they came on was to fill in some of these gaps that we've had, you know, in the past. So on the top left, prior to those staff coming on board with us, you can see there's some holes in the state where we just weren't reaching landowners. We weren't reaching the people that we need to get to. And once we, again, we're fully staffed, you can see in the bottom right, we're starting to plug some of those holes and reach out to more people. Those are the guys that get it done, gals that get it done. They're the engines that drive the program. This is my last slide here, and I'll turn it over to John, but I wanted to hopefully quickly go through this because we obviously with more people on the ground, we have to go look for more funding, and we've done that over the last year with exploring this, you know, that NACA grant that I already mentioned, working with the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. Very exciting program. There's a lot of funding available through that, and between the department and especially our partners, this grant wouldn't have been possible. So we were just funded successfully awarded $25 million to do working grassland and cropland practices in South Dakota. So some of the practices, you know, these grazing practices, cross fences, water development, doing cover crops, reduced tillage, no-till, and the main focus is going to be for producers who want to take cropland and plant it back to grass for whatever reason, grazing, wildlife, you name it. So the program will provide a 3-year foregone income payment while that grass is establishing. So instead of asking a landowner to plant the grass and then not getting any income off of it, we're now going to be able to provide them with some income while that grass is establishing. We're working with our state wildlife grants and the wildlife diversity staff to help those species of greatest conservation need. NIFWIF grants, West River, to do, again, working lands practices, grazing infrastructure, working to expand capacity with partners. And obviously these grants, like I said, they're not, you can't do them without your partners. They're important for leveraging match. You know, we might have some match, partners might have some match, and if we can, you know, work together and compile that, we're able to explore more of these options that require match. And of course, some partners are more, you know, they have more knowledge and they're experts in different grants, so we're able to work with those partners who are experts with, you know, whatever grant it might be, and use that knowledge and work with them, and it works really well. So with that, I'll turn it over to John, and he's going to talk about some success stories. So thank you.
So yeah, I'm John. I'm the private lands habitat biologist based out of the Fort Pierre office. I cover Hand, Hyde, Hughes, Soley, East River, and then West River, Stanley, Jones, and the west portion of Lyman County. I do have the gift of gab, so I'll try not to talk too much on these projects because they are exciting, so I can kind of get into it a little bit. But I've been private lands biologist for just at a year and a half now. And this is one of the first projects I did when I moved to Pierre. So this landowner invited me out. He had some concerns with overgrazing issues out there on the landscape. So a way we could help with that is adding in some cross fence. So we did incorporate two cross fences on two of his pastures that were about 640 acres in size or more, and created essentially two more pastures out there to add into his rotation. So there's more rest and rotation on his operation. And then in the background there, you can see there's Oahe in the background. And we did add a water line and tank up higher up from the river so we can have more even grazing in each pasture and fully utilize it. And then right before I had started, actually, they did re-enroll his land into the walk-in program, and they added some acres as well. just north of town here, we did add a new walk-in. Backstory on this, actually, one of our conservation officers was nice enough to drop the landowner's dog back off at his house, ran a little too far away from home. And from that conversation, he expressed to the landowner that, that he sees that there is great CRP out there. And with the walk-in program, multi-year contracts have sign-on bonuses, and there's just been some changes with the walk-in program, including our partners with Pheasants Forever with the creation of the PATH program, which is public access to habitat. So the conservation officer was able to set up a meeting with this landowner and include me, run some numbers, and then we could sit down at the table and be able to present that information, answer any questions that landowner might have. And then we also looped in, our partners with Pheasants Forever also. And with the help of them, we were able to enroll 240 acres of CRP into the walk-in program. And this last one, a little backstory on this landowner. He's a Vietnam vet, and some of you guys might know who he is, just east of town here. And he invited me out to show me what his operation is and what he does. You can see he served over 6,000 meals, hosted over 2,000 overnights. He provides hunt safe, women's hunts, firearms familiarization. Big thing is taking, veterans across the country out there hunting. So he's doing a lot of great things, education, hunting, and a lot of healing. And with that, a concern he had was some woody cover, winter habitat. So we were able to plant just over 1,800 trees out there in a project. Along with that, we also did food plot contracts with him. And, he does this all at no charge to any of these folks that are coming out there. And, the top picture there, you can see some of the trees that we had planted out there. And then that bottom picture, that gentleman, he was left arm dominant, but he lost his left arm and both his legs in an IED explosion when he was serving overseas. And there he is with his first rooster. So, and the smile just says it all. So it was a great opportunity to help put habitat, help the wildlife, and then also help this landowner continue his mission and what he's doing. So that's all I got.
Very good. Any questions for John or Eric this morning? Commissioner White?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Jim White, I'm new on the commission, so I hadn't heard a lot about your program, but there's a lot of good stuff here. How does the word get out of its availability? We make presentations to sportsmen's clubs across the state of South Dakota. I think this information would be very valuable to get out to commissioners, and then also some basis on how, if you have documentation that we could get to individuals that might have questions on it, it would be interesting to follow up on that.
Yes, through the chair. Commissioner White, there's a number of different ways that we get the word out on these programs, from social media to more local things like newspaper and holding workshops, and I think even our Landowners Matter publication that goes out. I think we try to include some sort of story or project highlight in that. So there's and of course our partners, they're doing their promotion, and because we have such great partners in the state and partnerships and relationships in the state, they're doing a really good job of promoting our programs as we are their programs.
I can't emphasize the areas that you are, for instance, replanting old shelter belts. Shelter belts are a key factor to the 12-month availability of wildlife, that type of thing. I just think that you got a lot of things going here, and if there's some way that we can enhance it from the commission side, I'd sure be interested in giving some guidance from you.
Thank you.
Very good. Any additional questions or comments? I do want to. Oh, Kevin, Secretary Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for the great presentation. As they said, and as we continue down into 2024, habitat and access is the major priority for the Department on the Wildlife Division. It will continue to be. We strongly believe habitat's the foundation of wildlife management, And we also believe that access is a barrier to participation. So those two things are absolutely critical to continue our hunting heritage here in South Dakota. Proud of these staff, I really am. We've come a long ways. How we do it, we meet the producer where they're at. We drive down their driveway, we shake their hand and have coffee with them, we develop a relationship, and that relationship then bears fruit, as you've seen here today. So we're gonna continue that, but I do agree with Commissioner White. There's additional things we can do, and we will find those things. We have a meeting next week, actually, that will bring all of our private lands biologists in the room, talk about the year, talk about how we can make improvements, talk about the success stories, but also learn from 23. And that's a very important meeting to set the stage for 24. So we're excited about that. I'm excited about this. They didn't even present the access numbers and their record numbers this year as well. So we're going to do everything we can to keep this train moving in the right direction, and I'm confident we have the right people in the right places so to get that done. Thank you.
Very good. One quick question. I wanted to go back to the $25 million grant, the RCPP grant. Yes. Is there, so if you have a landowner or producer that wants to take part in this, is there specific criteria or requirements they need to meet to be able to qualify for, to be part of this?
Yes, Madam Chair. So we were just awarded this pretty recently, so there's still some things to work out, but that program is actually, it's an NRCS program, so, you know, with those programs, we'll obviously have to have those landowners meet the requirements of the Farm Bill and be eligible through USDA. So we'll have to work, you know, through some of that, but we'll have, a screening process and a ranking process, because I expect that it's going to be a very popular program, and we're going to have a lot of applications, and we're going to have to, you know, probably take the best ones, you know, first, and then just kind of start at the top of the list and work our way down. But the other exciting thing about this is that, you know, there is the option through this program to, for certain practices that we decide might be the most important, like a grass planting. A landowner might have the opportunity to just come and talk to us, come talk to a partner and say, I want to do this grass planting. And they'll have the opportunity to walk out of that office that same day with a contract, which is really exciting because in the past, with other programs, like the EQIP program, you know, in some cases, it takes a long time before you get a funded contract. And that's, you know, that's kind of been a hindrance to some landowners is just that period of time that they have to wait. So this is exciting because there could be the potential that we could work with somebody and they could walk out that same day with a contract and get to work. So,
very good. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you very much. Great presentation this morning.
Thank you.